Writer Eric Kraft chronicled the personal history, adventures, experiences, and observations of his alter ego Peter LeRoy in a series of 8 short comic novels. Kraft began publishing his stories about Peter LeRoy in a newsletter he sent to friends. The newsletter expanded into a series of books. Kraft promised his readers they could always look forward to a new installment. In Kraft's new book, Herb and Lorna, Peter LeRoy tells the story of his grandparents and their secret occupation.
This is the moment in the book when Peter LeRoy, the narrator, first discovers that his grandparents have been the originators of the animated erotic jewelry business in America. It happens at his grandmother's funeral. Sitting in a pew at the church, half attending to the service, I began to consider my new knowledge. You can imagine how it affected me. It shook me. Not only had I never known anything about this interest of my grandparents, but the whole notion was so far removed from my idea of them, their personalities, their interests, their talents, as I supposed I understood them, that I couldn't even imagine where it might fit. Eroticism, I realized with some embarrassment, had never played an important part in my mind's eye's version of my grandparents' lives. How I had misjudged them. I had belittled them, diminished their lives in a way that I wouldn't have wanted mine diminished. Eroticism certainly played an important part in my life. How could I have been so thick-headed and arrogant as to ignore the likelihood that it was as important, or to judge from the evidence they'd supplied me, even more important, in theirs? I was ashamed of myself. I was also flabbergasted. I was struck with a suddenness and force that felt like a physical blow by the realization that even now I was wrong in my understanding of them. It was as if my grandmother had, in her posthumous letter, introduced me to 2 people I had never met before. People who had been hiding inside my grandparents. People with genitalia. Who were these people? Why did my grandmother want me to meet them?
How did the character of Peter LeRoy first appear to you?
More than 25 years ago, on a cold winter day, while I was supposed to be studying a German lesson at Harvard.
In the middle of class?
No.
Oh, at home while you were
in
studying?
In the library. Uh-huh. In the library.
Library. Was it an idea, an apparition? What exactly came to you?
It was a dream. This was a technique.
You were sleeping in the library.
I had fallen asleep over Ich bin nun endlich in München und sitze hier in meinem Zimmer and so on that I was supposed to be memorizing. And when I awoke, I was in an embarrassing situation, an embarrassing position. I was lying on the floor and people were laughing around me and so on. I gathered up my books and beat a retreat from the library. And when I got outside in the cold air, I realized that I had a remnant of a little dream left in my mind. I had been dreaming about a warm summer day and a small boy sitting on a dock dabbling his feet in the water. And over the next 25 years, that little boy became Peter LeRoy.
Explain a little bit about the erotic sideline that you've given to the grandparents in your book.
Well, Lorna is an ivory carver in the town of Chicolet, New York, and she is trained by her uncle Luther to carve ivory for cufflinks and shirt studs and so on. She doesn't know until she becomes an adolescent and Luther initiates her into this dark side of the industry that there is an under-the-counter business in erotic jewelry for men. At about the same time, Herb, who is born into a family in Boston that is totally broke, a family of super salesmen who, over the course of several generations, have managed to lose everything that they've ever made from their talent, is introduced by his uncle, Ben, into the selling side of the same industry.
Now, when Herb starts making the erotic jewelry, he has a cover. And his cover is selling books, mostly business-oriented self-help books. Explain how he uses this as a cover.
Well, his uncle Ben introduces him to the notion of selling books on what sounds awfully like the prototype of the Book of the Month Club plan. He persuades a person to subscribe to an entire set of books, Professor Clapp's 5-foot shelf of indispensable information for modern times. And the gimmick is that he gets his prospective client to sign up for the first of the books, but that another book keeps arriving every month, and Herb comes back to sell, among other things, even a 5-foot shelf. But at some point in the pitch, he will take the man of the house aside, go out onto the porch or outside, and find a way to introduce his pitch for erotic jewelry, shoot his cuffs or something, and display an outstanding pair of ivory cufflinks that the fellow can't resist.
In the middle of Herb and Lorna, you have a series of photographs that are supposed to be photographs of Herb and Lorna, and they're pictured at work, they're pictured pleasing their customers, pictures of their satisfied customers. Why did you want to put in phony pictures in the middle of the book? It is a great device in your standard memoir to have the pictures right in the center there of the person who's telling the story and their family and friends.
Right. It was partly for verisimilitude, to make the book look more like a biography. But it was also because the original notion I had of telling Herb and Lorna's story was that I wanted to tell the story of two people who were unremarkable in every way, except for this lifelong love that they had felt for each other and the way in which it had brought them through life in spite of all the things that went wrong in their lives, all the things that turned against them here and there. And along the way, as I was working on the book, they came up with this remarkable avocation, the erotic jewelry. But still, my thinking about them, my conception of them as people who are really quite ordinary, except for this magnificent love, made me think early on of including photographs that showed them as almost indistinguishable. You'll notice that the photograph of her behind the lines in the First World War identifies him with an arrow as a person whose face is not visible.
Hmm. Do you document your own life as well as the lives of your recurring characters?
Yes. My wife and I take a photograph every day and keep these photographs in an album.
Now, why do you do that?
Well, to document the small events that vanish. You know, most people, and we certainly did this, take photographs of big family events, graduations, weddings, that sort of thing. But I think that what your life is more the sum total of the smaller things that happen to you, the things that happen from day to day that really are the way that most of your time is passed and not those big events.
From what I know about you, it seems you've always had a day job from which you've earned your living, and then you've used the evenings or weekends or perhaps early mornings to write your fiction. Is that still the case?
Still the case. More often early morning now than evening, but I write and edit textbooks throughout most of the day and spend the early morning hours living with my characters.
What kind of textbooks do you write?
Textbooks in grammar and composition.
Do you get pleasure from it?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I even sneak in references to my fiction now and then.
Oh, like how?
Well, often I'm called upon to provide example paragraphs that kids will either be asked to emulate or to read and answer questions about. And so sometimes I sneak in paragraphs about the history of Babington, where most of the action of my books takes place, or paragraphs of conversation between characters. I like to think that I'm training a whole generation of high school students to read my later works.
How close do you feel to the character in your books, Peter LeRoy? When you remember his life, do you feel like you're remembering your own?
Actually, I feel very much as if I'm remembering his. And I say that because so much time has passed. I've been thinking about him and the whole constellation of people around him for so long that it is almost no longer the case that I feel as if I'm making this up. I feel as if I'm remembering it. This guy has been my imaginary pal for so long now that I seem to know him at least as well as I know myself.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Eric Kraft's new book, Herb and Lorna, is published by Crown. This is Fresh Air.